right behind you.
Hi, I'm Avital Ash.
I'm Jessica Richards.
And this is...
He's Right Behind You.
Ah!
Hello.
And that's Alex Fernie.
You looked at me and it felt like, oh, I didn't prepare whatever comes after this.
You should have known.
Yeah,
what
I'm so sorry.
You blew it. And that's the end.
Yeah.
That was nice to have you while you were here.
Oh, thank you very much. It's nice to see this office.
You can see yourself out.
Okay.
Alex is a director, a writer, an improviser, an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you say when people ask you what you do?
I normally say writer. Okay. Because it's what I most like and want to do.
Cool.
And saying director sounds pretentious. I don't think I would ever offer that up first because it sounds like I'm a director and I don't think of myself that way. I think of myself as someone who sometimes directs things.
So. It's so interesting because I remember this conversation years ago. I worked at Franklin & Company and you came in and I think you're like the only person in the world that this has happened to where you've sort of stumbled into being a director where people just keep asking you to direct stuff.
Yeah, I fell into it because I wanted to... Like, it came through when I worked at Funny or Die, and Funny or Die was chaos, and it was, like, I was hired as a writer, but if you wrote something and you didn't direct it, it almost never got made, so I had to kind of teach myself that.
Yeah.
And then I've grown to really like it and to enjoy it, because it's challenging, but I don't think I would ever get to the point where it's like, oh, that's what I am, because it feels like I'm lying.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Are people jealous of you?
Maybe sometimes, I don't know. It's all but probably that's very obnoxious to people. But it's also like I tend to try to be very clear of like, oh, when I say I'm a director, I was like, you know, if you watch, you know, late night Adult Swim and streaming services that no longer exist, then you have maybe have seen stuff I have done, which does like kind of you know form that opinion. Maybe RIP CISO.
Oh, there's so many dead ones.
There are so many
dead ones. Well, I still watch Adult Swim late at night, so I might have seen some stuff.
Yeah. Children's Hospital, then you might have seen me.
Oh, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many episodes of that have you directed?
I did, I think I did 6 episodes of Children's over the last 2 seasons.
Not a small number.
No, it's also very fun. That show is easy because it's very talented people.
Yeah,
I love that show.
I haven't seen it, but it always looks really fun whenever I've seen like promo.
It's real goofy.
Yeah.
And I don't know when this comes out, but the spinoff is coming out on Netflix and I saw some episodes. I had nothing to do with it. It's also very goofy and very, very funny.
Oh, that's great.
Medical police.
Yeah. Do you want anybody to know anything about you? Do you want anybody?
No. In general, in life,
yeah,
no.
Like your
I prefer
security
not.
Number.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Like, are you working on something that you want to tell people about or?
No, not actually. Well, you know, I've got a 1-year-old and so I've been doing a lot of good baby time with my wife, which is great. So, and then I've just been kind of writing for stuff that hopefully someone will let me make, but it's been a lot of really cool baby time. So there's nothing to
you're
pitch
just promoting
right
a human.
Yeah. Just promote. She's great. You know what? She's going to, in a few years, she'll probably be out there. Maybe get to know her. She'll be attending preschool.
Coming out in 2025.
Yeah. She's real good. She's got a crooked little smile. It's really cute.
Oh, are you like writing at home with her?
That's very hard at this point,
yeah.
Because she doesn't stand for that. But so like, it's been like my wife, Deborah, who's also a writer, like we kind of like trade off a little bit. And so I'll leave and go somewhere to do stuff. And sometimes if it's something like, if I'm preparing a pitch, I can do that. If it's something I don't have to be like, I need to focus for 3 hours. If
right.
I can mind someone running up and just tapping me, then I
you
can
don't,
do that.
You don't need to focus hard for a pitch. Pitches are like the most stressful.
Then I already know it.
Yeah.
Then I've already done all the hard thinking. Like now I'm just organizing to a certain degree, so I can kind of do that a little bit. And that's the stuff is the most fun to me. If like, ooh, I can just figure out stuff for this character to do, and I can do it in little bits.
Yeah.
But if I'm like sitting down and writing pages, then I need
seems it like
to
good
flow.
Practice though to have someone like keep interrupting you because like when you're going and people are like on their phones or like there's people coming in and stuff, you're like, I've got this.
Yeah.
I've been trained by a 1-year-old.
Yeah.
This I can handle this.
You can't shake me.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
What is your relationship with horror?
It's like I like horror, but I'm not like I don't seek it out, right?
Yeah.
Like the way I normally describe it is like the type of horror I tend to like. I tend not to like mean horror,
mm-hmm.
like so movies that are just sort of like, can you believe you're putting yourself through this? I'm like, I don't enjoy that.
Yeah.
But then I really love. Like a movie we're going to talk about, and then like Carpenter, obviously, mm-hmm. which has to me, it's almost like when it kind of like welcomes you into the world, even mm-hmm. as bad things are happening, I dig it, as opposed to like Eli Roth or whoever, I'm like, this is not fun,
like,
for
punishing.
Me.
Punishing.
Yeah, this is just like a dare. Watch this movie. Like, I like the like long lingering threat type horror as opposed
dread.
To the yeah
and something more immersive.
Yeah, and I like and I'm weird with gore. Like, I like goofy gore, and then I have no interest in, like, again, that sort of hostile, like, oh, this is like a gore movie. I just don't. It's not even like I'm upset, but I'm just like, eh. There's other things.
I feel that way a little bit, where, especially like doing this, where I'm being forced to watch some movies that, like, I spent years being like, cool, not going to watch it.
Yeah.
And even for this now, like, I'll press mute or I'll make it tiny or I'll do things because I'm like, I've
like
got
the screen like this big. I'm like, this
I've got nothing to prove.
Yeah.
Like, it's not for me.
Yeah.
I can, like, watch it and appreciate stuff about it, but, like, it's not for me. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's never been for me, and lately in watching so many of them, because I didn't watch horror and I didn't like to be scared, there's more of a, oh, how did they do that? Like, when it's done really well, and it's scary. And I don't like torture for the sake of torture, but we were just talking about Midsommar, and there's, like, someone's head getting bashed in, and it looks so real. I'm like, how do they? And I've been able to put a distance now where I don't, part of me is not going like, that's real. Like, I can
I think
separate it, but
I something to horror where it almost is like the more of it you you have to teach yourself how to, like, consume it almost.
Yeah.
It's like coffee. Like, coffee tastes bad. You have to make a choice as a teen to be like, I'm gonna be a grown up and I'm gonna drink coffee. And you're like, this is awful, but grown ups do it. And then you're like, okay, well, now I'm used to it and I understand it.
This makes so much sense to me, by
me
the way.
Too. I'm like already going, this is our soundbite.
Because like what you're saying, I'm like, I don't feel that way at all. I can't distance myself and be like, how did they do that? And then you said the thing about coffee and I was like, oh, I never
coffee.
Learned to like coffee.
Yeah.
This adds up.
Yeah. It's like you have to learn those rhythms and then you start to accept more and then you can sometimes start to go, oh, cool, I get why that is. It's not as visceral a reaction, and you don't stop reacting to literally everything,
right.
And then you start to go, okay, cool, I can sort of appreciate this. And there's still stuff that, again, that, like, I just don't dig or I'm not into. But
well, it's interesting with something like Reanimator or something where it's over the top and people say it's like funny. I still have that reaction of just like, oh, too much blood. But there's the logical part of me that's going, I get why people like this.
Yeah.
And aren't actually afraid of it.
Yeah. It's like, I think that too is almost like horror. Many people smarter than me have talked about this, but like the connection between horror and comedy and how they are similar, like biological responses.
Right.
And they're all based on rhythm and the fulfillment of expectation or the denial of expectation is all that same sort of thing. And similar to comedy as well, there's like almost infinite genres within horror that there are in comedy that you just say, oh, I saw a comedy movie. I don't know what that means. And I think kind of that's true of horror too. Like, because Reanimator is so different than something like The Conjuring, which is so different than something that I think like Rosemary's
Jaws
Baby or Jaws.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, like they feel so different. They're only linked together because they scare us.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
That's how whenever, because I always say, like, I love horror movies. And then when people are like, what do you mean? I'm like, there's like an asterisk next to it, which is I love slasher movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of horror movies I like.
Right. And dramas are often scary.
Yeah.
You know, like with Ari Aster's movies in particular, I always find the scariest element is that just like dramatic component where you're like fear of losing family members or whatever. So it is kind of arbitrary that there's this like group of quote unquote horror where, like you said, they basically might as well be different genres altogether.
And there's that weird side thing then of like thriller too, which sometimes is like, I'm sure we'll talk about it when we talk about It Follows, but like I'm a big lover of the movie The Guest. And that is like a thriller, but there's horror elements to it, but I wouldn't call it a horror movie. And I think it breaks down, and I think it is that we're biologically reacting to it in a way. But we've sectioned that off in a way that we don't, like, we wouldn't be like, oh, this genre movie is movies where you cry.
Right.
Because there's just too much. But being scared is the same thing. Like, Jurassic Park isn't a horror movie, but as a kid, I sat there and I was fucking terrified of parts of it. You know,
I count it, like, I'm very open with that on here where she'll be like, is that a horror? And
Jessica counts almost
everything. Almost every time I've said yes. I didn't say yes to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Somebody asked,
That was where I crossed a line. I was like, no.
I mean, and I remember, I've said this on here before, but an episode of Full House where somebody jumps out from under the bed and I ran out of the room.
Yeah.
That's clearly not a horror.
As a kid, there's an episode, and I remember very little of it, of Punky Brewster, mm-hmm. where they get trapped in a cave that fucked me up for years.
I think somebody sent me a clip of it.
Yeah, and there's like someone stuck in a wall.
Yes.
And it's fucking scary as hell. And it's Punky Brewster. Like, right. she has no, there's no business to being scared of Punky right. Brewster. And it really, really, it was like a Halloween episode. And I think it was probably at the end. It was like, it's all a dream. There's no one in the wall. But it doesn't matter as a kid.
Right,
like, that
it
still
stays with
scared
you.
You and still burrowed its way in where I'm 38 years old. And I go, I remember that episode that I saw in, I don't even know when, 1990?
I wonder who directed that episode and what they're doing now, or wrote it. That's the other thing, is you don't really know who's responsible for your nightmares.
So maybe, this is someone years ago just cashed a check on Punky Brewster. It's like, I don't know, the wall, there's a person in the wall. And now I'm like, yeah, it fucked me up, and I'm still thinking about it.
So what scares you now as an adult?
The things I'm actually afraid of in the real world are I don't like snakes, but that's common, and I'm very afraid of boats. I don't like going on boats.
Wow.
But it's just,
have you ever been on a boat?
Yeah, I've been on boats. Don't enjoy it. If I can see the bottom, it's not a problem to me. And like I've done like snorkeling where the boat takes you out, and I don't love it. But the like the idea of going on a cruise is
I agree.
Mortifying.
It triggers your agoraphobia and claustrophobia.
It's like everything. Yeah. Strangers, being trapped with strangers, I don't like.
What do you mean if you can see the bottom? Like, I know there's those glass bottom boats sometimes, but you can't see all
like
the way in, to the
bottom. Yeah, like if like you go like, I'm trying, like I've gone snorkeling a few times like in Hawaii or whatever, and where the water's so clear and I can see the bottom of the water and I can see like whatever's down there, I don't get scared. So it's probably less the actual boat than the dark water below me.
So you're not afraid in the water, though, generally?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm sure I could get there. but I think it's just boats make... I think the sequence of events that would get me in the water when I'm on a boat starts to run through my mind. It's not even like I'm consciously afraid, like, the boat might sink and I might drown. It's just sort of being like, what's making this boat float? Where am I going? What happens if something goes wrong? You know, like, I just start to panic and I start to have my, like, my anxiety rises up.
And what about snakes? Are you ever around them?
Not any. I mean, ideally, no.
Like on a shoot or anything.
They were.
I
grew up on a farm, and there were a lot of snakes around.
Where'd you grow up?
In New Hampshire, and just like little garter snakes, harmless little guys. But it was an old farmhouse, and like they kind of lived in the foundation too of the house, and that was pretty creepy. And I just developed this fear of them. The only time I've encountered them on a shoot was I did this pilot for Comedy Central years ago, and I was in it with these guys I write and perform with, and I was like, it was like a Reno 911 style thing, but for at the time those shows like Survivor Man were on, and it was like that was the bit, and I was like the sort of like the scientist character, because I'm tall and it was skinny and had glasses, and there's a part where I was like talking about animals you might encounter in the jungle, and I was in this actual like room filled with all these animals in terrariums. And there was a ton of snakes, including a rattlesnake that they had.
Ooh,
and
no, thank
to
you.
Shoot it, I had to find the one spot where I could stand where it wouldn't rattle. Because anywhere I go, it would see you, and it would do this thing.
You have to be, like, out of its peripheral.
And, I guess so. And, like, that's, like, a biological. You feel it. Like, you feel it in the back of your neck. The sound is horrible. And if you were to watch this pilot, this thing where I'm, like, doing a two-camera, is I am just not moving. Like, my shoulders are next to my ears, and I'm just going, and today we're going, and I'm just barreling through what I have to say so fucking stiffly because, like, literally if I leaned, it would go. It's
and
horrible.
Is it like, this is a problem for sound or, like, this is a problem for Alex?
It was a problem for Alex. Sound was – it was great. They would have loved it because it was like you could see all these snakes. There's, like, a cobra with its hood out.
Yeah.
You could see them. It was like, this is, like, high production value and I'm doing everything I can to be like, please don't let that rattlesnake that's – I know it's watching me because when I move, it rattles. Like, it's thinking about me. There's other crew in here, but I'm the one triggering it. Felt very bad.
Yeah.
I hate that. We've done that when we're, like, hiking in Griffith Park and you hear the rattle and I'm – every time I've been like, cool, I'm going to go back to the car.
Yeah.
This is nature saying you've gone too far.
Yeah.
And that's the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not much of a nature person.
Is there an image, and maybe it's Punky Brewster, maybe it's something else, an image either from a movie, a show, something you imagine from reading a book, something from dreams, nightmares that's like scared you the most, or something you've seen?
There's, I guess there's two. One is a kid, like when I was like 10 or 11, I saw the first Night of the Living Dead on like my birthday, like an uncle showed it to me. And I got all the way through with it and it was no problem. And the thing that got me, and I had nightmares into my 20s and I had seen it again and had it not scared, but it just subconsciously got me so bad, was just the ending when he peeks over the window and gets shot in the head. And the ending, the bleak ending got into my DNA for years. I remember being in my dorm room in college and waking up in a sweat because I had a nightmare about this movie I saw when I was 10.
Were the nightmares like you're the one getting shot in the head or you're just seeing it?
It was almost like, from what I can remember, just being like in that farmhouse and in that world. So it wasn't really about zombies. And it was just this feeling of it doesn't matter. The bad things happening. Like, that was what got into me. Yeah. So, like, that became, which I think is probably also something all humans battle with a little bit of, like, well, but what if it doesn't matter if I do what I need to do?
Well, what makes that movie so good?
Yeah. And it's so, like, it's such a good movie. And, I mean, it just destroyed me. And then as an adult, probably, like, the most scared I've been in a movie. I wouldn't even say I like the movie. I think it's good, but I don't think I like it. I went to see The Strangers when it came out. Mm-hmm. And there's a shot in that's so perfect where there's a couple. There's one where Liv Tyler's like in the foreground and that sack face guy just crosses behind her out of focus. And there's another moment where she's in the foreground. I think she's on the phone or something. And they knock on the door and her neck tenses in a way that I'm like, that's the best acting I've ever seen. I don't know how to make my neck do that. And like that scared, like I think about that all the time. I saw that as early when I started, when I was dating my wife, like very early on, we went to go see it. And we still talk about it because she doesn't like scary movies very much.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but I've read about it and it just reading about it scared the shit
out
of me.
It's very scary.
And just like the poster.
Not, to me, that's like a no fun scary.
It's not fun. And then the ending has a Night
very,
of Living
like,
Dead.
Funny games. Type.
Yeah, it's just sort of like. Like
oh, but
the,
it's not funny.
Hopeless. It's not
funny. Games are not funny.
Yeah. But like in funny games where you're just like, oh, this
But that's
feels
even
bad.
More hopeful than this.
Oh, wow.
The line at the end, unless you don't want me to spoil one line at the end of the movie.
You
I
can spoil it.
At the end of the movie, so like, it's real, like, people are dead and there's a bit where the intruders kind of get the people who are kind of defending against them to accidentally kill their neighbor and then they make them like watch while they stab this guy and she says why are you doing this and they just say because
you were
home.
I
and
remember.
Like that
from
god damn like that is like
I don't remember from the trailer I remember reading it and that was
it's
yeah,
bad it's and it's just like a Manson like it's Manson like that's just what they're
yeah,
doing
right
and I remember that from the trailer and being like why would you put that in the trailer
yeah
yeah like you give it
a movie.
Yeah.
And honestly, in the movie, because of what comes after and what you like sit through is like, it is masterfully done in how fucking awful it is to experience.
Yeah, home invasion and like torture stuff is always what scared me the most.
Because it's not fun to me. It's like I like even, it doesn't have to be supernatural, right? It doesn't have to be an alien or what, like, Michael Myers became supernatural, but in the first one, he's mainly just a dude stabbing people. And like, but I think Halloween is fun. Like, you know, it's a fun movie.
It's my favorite scary
and
movie.
Part of it's Carpenter. It's Carpenter. So you're like, yeah, of course this is.
He's great, and she's great.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't go on enough about it. I love
this. I'll probably kept, but just out of curiosity, have you seen The Mist too?
Yes.
Did you have that same sense of like
at the end?
Yes.
Yeah, until the end. Like I think I was like I remember seeing with that Alex Berg and I was really like enjoying it. I was like great, yeah, and like oh okay, I get it. It's all the people, and then the ending. I was like, well, all right, like that sucked.
I
something
loved it.
Out of me. Yeah.
It's so bleak.
It's so goddamn bleak.
Yeah.
That ending, and I was like, oh, yeah, I get it, and it does make sense, but then I started going back. I was like, they had to do so many things to make that ending sad. Like, they're going like, okay, we know how bleak. I feel like King had to start with, this is how this ends.
But he didn't.
Because he never does, right? He just,
yeah.
Especially
well,
back then,
and
he
the book didn't
blew
end
a
that
bunch
way.
Of cocaine. Oh, no?
No.
How's
the movie
book
did. The book is like
the
they're
book
leading
ends a
hotel.
Few minutes before that.
Wow.
Get, so it's
signal.
Like they're just driving off.
So Darabont was just like,
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Let's just tack this on to the
and
end.
And it's like more definitive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I really liked it, but it is totally bleak.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I think we can move into It Follows. Do you have any questions for Alex?
Oh, I'm excited to talk about this movie.
Great.
I am really excited, and I'm going to start off by saying that I am really eager to hear what you guys have to say because I think you're very funny. I've seen you perform, and I think this is like a beautifully shot movie, well acted. The score's incredible, and I just cannot get on board with the story. I saw it in theaters. I really wanted to like it, and then I was like, okay, maybe I'll like it more the second time, and I think I liked it less, and so I'm ready for you guys.
Well, that's we never agree on a movie.
Okay.
It's like very rare.
It's true.
So So whenever I watch something and I like it, I'm like, oh, she hates this. She probably hates what's happening right now. Yeah. And I'm so excited.
How it looks and the tone. And I just, the story always, I'm like, I don't understand the rules of this world. There are so many gaps to me that don't make sense. And so we'll get into it.
Yeah. Part of it that I do love this movie. Like, I really like, I watched it again last night and I hadn't seen it in a few years. I was like, oh yeah, this movie just like gets into me right away. And I think part of, if you read what he was kind of doing, like, it was like one of those, it came from a dream, mm-hmm. which helps me with some of the dream logic stuff. Mm-hmm. But I remember the first time I saw it, the first time that the book she's reading, the idiot on that little clamshell thing.
I know, it was like, it looks like birth control, but it's like a Kindle shaped like a clam. Yeah.
And I think that was the moment, the first time I saw it, I was like, okay, got it. This isn't our world. And I just went, I can't expect rules to necessarily line up, because they're not going to explain that fucking thing. They're not going to explain why the technology in the cars are 30 years old, but it's clearly now post
well, it's like collapse. Every character's in a different decade.
Yeah.
So it's, like, one character will have like an old car with an old phone, and another character will have a new car with a new phone. And there's stuff, that's part of what I really love about this movie, is like the dream,
the dreaminess
feeling of it.
I like that too. And I don't mind every character being in a feeling like, what time is this? Because it does feel dreamlike and I'm into it. My problems weirdly are like, why the idiot? The idiot is like somebody who's good natured and gets mistaken for a dummy. It's like the reverse of Chauncey Gardner. Yeah. And that's like not this movie.
I think the idiot is just to set up her final reading of it in the hospital.
Which I feel too, and it bothered me. Because I'm like, this is not like a deeper meaning.
No,
this is
it's
like
just for that one quote. Yep. Yeah. He had that. I think he had that one quote. He also doesn't like, Mitchell doesn't like, in the interviews I've read with him about it, like kind of refuses to like pin it down. And I think probably purposefully, I like this, is I don't think he has a lot of it defined necessarily. Right. He was like, this is what it means. I bet push comes to shove, he's like, hey, no, this is, I wrote this and this is just what it is. And he does a lot of like, well, you can see that any way you want. You can go that any way you want. And I always tend to like dig that. Like, I am always kind of, I like...
You like the spinning top at the end of Inception.
Yeah, and I like to just that there's no writing. Like, it doesn't matter. I hate those, internet brings out so much of just sort of like, oh, this is the hidden meaning of being like, I think normally the intended meaning is less interesting than the received meaning.
I agree, but I like there to be an intended meaning, even if it's left open, and I don't feel like he knows what he's trying to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is where we disagree on things, because like, usually if there's a movie that's like, I have to go and do a lot of research because I get it's an allegory. I don't know what it's an allegory on. I have to like really, then I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Because I want to be able to enjoy something on face value. And then if I get something deeper, I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
But I don't want to feel like, okay, I didn't get it. And because I didn't get it, now I have to do a bunch of research to be like, you're so smart. And I did, what do I know? I just went to film school.
I didn't finish The Idiot, but I did read the first like half or three
quarters.
I've
never read The Idiot.
So it's fun to me to be like, I get that reference. And then be like, no. Why? Yeah. And then it does feel like, oh, you're, yeah, exactly what you said. Like, you're just trying to set up a quote. And my main thing, which is jumping to the end, and I want to go through semi-chronologically, but the main thing is you see them shoot. Okay, so the premise is basically like a walking STD. Yeah. You contract something, somebody follows you, and they won't stop until they kill you, starting with the last person you've passed it on to.
It's like a chain letter.
Yeah, exactly.
which I hate, by the way. Brad's aunt needs to stop sending me chain letters on Facebook.
Hopefully she's
listening. What is happening? Like, I feel like there's a certain demographic of age where people on Facebook are sending me, it's like all aunts and stuff, keep sending me things where it's like, oh, like this and resend to 7 other people.
Yeah.
I'm not falling for that.
I was really hoping before you said Facebook that you were still somehow receiving chain letters. Like, it was like 1970. I'm like, Jesus, how's that happening?
I remember when I first got an email. That's all people would do is send me chain letters. And it was like,
if you don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't do
I remember that.
Hey,
which is why it's so funny when it's like aunts and stuff or grandparents, because I'm like, this was a thing we believed at 14.
Yeah.
What are you doing at 70?
The circle of internet life.
Yeah, exactly. But we have scenes where they fight back against these like mysterious followers, people that follow them, not followers like in the Instagram way. Yeah. And we see them get shot and it does not deter them.
Right.
And then at the very end, a shot seems to fill a whole pool with blood. And that's where I'm like, all right, what are the rules to this universe? And
and there's also like, it doesn't necessarily about like, you know, it's always moving, but you know, sometimes he's going to go with the image of a weird, creepy naked dude on a roof, just
right.
standing
yeah,
and watching.
That was the right. one to me that didn't add up.
Yeah.
I don't have, like, the stuff with the end. It doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you. I don't quite get it. But then when I was reading about it, the guy was like, it's supposed to not really make sense because, like, they don't know what they're doing either.
See, to me, it's supposed to not make sense is the same as being like, it's supposed to not be good. Well, like, I don't think that's...
I think,
like,
that's what he's saying, though. It's like...
I don't think he's saying it's not supposed to be good.
Well, he's saying, like, they're supposed to make mistakes. These are just a bunch of kids that don't have he. What I was reading was he was like, I hate in movies where they get that one nugget of information and they're like, oh, I found the weak spot, and then like, now I know how to kill you. And he's like, the point I was trying to make was that they don't get that nugget, so they're really just guessing and they don't know what they're doing and they don't know if it works, and you as the audience don't know if it works.
And they never explain whatever it is. And like, I think part of that last blood shot, which I also think is partially just sort of like, okay, I want to do this effect.
Right, it looks great.
It looks great. Was, I think, like, there's the element where if you watch it, like, whatever it is also actively trying to scare them based on the forms it takes sometimes. Like, at the end when it comes back as her dad, like, mm-hmm. that's purposeful to scare this girl. So that's how I interpret
it. Wait, when does it come back as her dad?
The one that's throwing the things in the pool is her dad.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why when the sister's
but you,
like,
but they're
what
way
does
too
it
subtle
look like? She's like, I'm not telling you.
Yeah, she won't tell the sister. Yeah, because you see him in pictures.
Right.
And then he shows up. And then, so then the blood to me is going like, I interpret, again, like, he won't say what it is because I don't think it, I think he's like, do it your own way. But the way I interpret that is just sort of being like, this is just another way to scare her, to terrify her. And that last shot is being like, they know that they didn't stop it.
So then why do they stop it even temporarily? Because everything we've seen before is like, it just keeps going.
It just keeps going, yeah. Well, I think because, right, we don't see them leave there. They just leave. And yeah. I think that's kind of, I think she or they know that it's just going to keep coming. This bad plan didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Which is why they all keep having sex. Mm-hmm.
And also, to me, like, I know you said you wanted to go chronologically, but...
you were already
yeah. And I think we're... I think I'm talking about this because of my response to your Facebook post. But you had been like, what's, like, romantic horror movie? And, like, you know, it's a stretch to say this movie is romantic, right? Because it has kind of, like, very cynical angles on, like, sex and relationships. I think them being teens makes it, like... we can talk about that. I think there's, like, very accurate representations of just, like, the way teens kind of interact and, like, teen horniness in a way you don't see a lot of horror. It's not like they're all fucking all the time. They're just kind of, like, uncomfortable around each other. And you can tell they're all just thinking about it all the time. And I'm like, hey, I buy that.
Yeah.
But then the reason I think I come away from this movie, again, not thinking it's mean and digging it a lot, is that last shot where you don't know if the person in the background is it or if it's just somebody. And one way I like to look at it, I don't think is the right way, but the way I like to look at it is, it got a lot of press when it came out. I was like, oh, it's STD, it's STD. And to me, it's more of being like just dealing with the fact that we're all going to die. You can't stop it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can hold it off. There's nothing
that's
you can
do. That's like the quote at the end.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they lay out. It's coming for you. It is coming. I don't think it's a coincidence that these are characters that are, yes, horror movie trope age, but also about the age you start to understand the finiteness of life.
Yeah.
And this thing will come and get you. And the only kind of relief from that is to not face that alone. And I think there's a very, like, sweet, kind of almost saccharine version of that. And I think there's kind of a sad, tragic version of that. And I think that ending kind of has both, because they're holding hands and you're like, is this nice that these two ended up together? Does she like him in that way? You know what I mean? Right. Like, what is this?
Well, it's definitely a choice, because Hugh, or whatever his Jeff. He says, we shouldn't be together.
Yeah.
Like, not in a romantic way, but like in a literal way.
Right.
You shouldn't
kill
be
one
near
or
me.
The other.
Yeah. Kind of like, I'm going to do this to you, and then, like, you have to do it alone.
Yeah.
And like, at the end, they're going against that and being like, we are both infected and we're going to stay together.
And I think even, and you can even, I think also too, I think it's because it's nice with the two and the framing and everything, but like, I think even with the old, you know, the sister and the other friend whose name escapes me, like
Yara.
I
only know because I kept pressing pause and it would pop up on my Amazon, and I was like, "Oh, I'm learning everybody's name this way."
Like, I think there's like a platonic version of that too, of like just not facing that thing alone. That like they're gonna walk down the street and they're gonna hold hands, and something is coming for them, and it will get them both, and it will get one of them, and then it will get the other one. And to me, like, you know, something just kind of clicked. I was like, "Oh yeah, that is a kind of a unexpected place for me for this horror movie to kind of like drop me off at the end, especially one that I think is so he's being pretty flashy throughout that whole movie with his rotating cameras and his you know a slow you know 70s zooms and stuff. He's
I love like when they're driving on like any of the driving POV shots. I love
I can get on board with that, trying to outrun death and then, you know, sort of the acceptance of the inevitable. And what I didn't like, although I feel like maybe I talked myself out of it listening to you talk, I was like, but it doesn't kick in the same way the awareness of mortality would kick in for anybody. It is so tied to sex, which is like that sort of the STD argument. It's like, but whether or not you die a virgin, like you're gonna die. It's coming for all of us, whether we fuck or we don't. But then I think that maybe there's an argument to be made, like you were saying, we're all going to die, but the only way to sort of cope is to be in it together with someone. And then the much more, what's the word I want? Like hedonistic, for lack of a better word, is the we're all going to die, so we might as well fuck in the meanwhile. And maybe there's like some sort of weird implication that like they are all going to die. You just see it more vividly.
But also like the idea that when you have sex, you start to become an adult.
Yep.
That it's like, you know, like later when they have sex and she's like, do you feel different? That whole part I think is interesting because there is that thing of put upon sex of like that it does somehow make you different once you've had sex. And like that they're both like, I don't feel different. I mean, they're both not virgins, but it's like that same idea of like we've done this thing.
Do
you feel different?
That the Greg character is pretty important to that in like my whole view. And again, like this is just like how I interpret it. And how I like to watch it. Like, it might be so fucking far off from what they intended, and I don't really care. It's how I watch it and I interpret it. But, like, I think the Greg character who gets fucked to death by his mom. but, like, I think that is an important element of that because he's an outsider and he's not part of them, and they kind of, like, view him. Like, it seems like there's heavy implication that he's an asshole.
Right.
And
he comes
over,
doesn't believe them.
And he very much comes over, and it really seems like he is praying. Like on Micah Monroe or the fan, and like there's the interactions with the sister. There's something gross happening
here. What's the interaction with the sister?
They just have there's all these.
Oh, there's
looks.
A point where he checks out.
Yeah,
Yara.
he checks them all out, and like he's just there's just something that they never really underline, but they're just like this isn't this friend group. Even with the awkward like you were my first kiss, I know like that sort of stuff, which is played. Honestly, kind of like real to me in a way of being like, this isn't sort of like emotional thing. We can talk about this. It's uncomfortable and weird, but we're teens. We don't know what to do with. Greg is something different.
Yeah.
And the way they have sex is different. Like where it feels very like it's in the hospital and it's sneaky and it feels very transactional. And she's like looking away and it feels bad and it doesn't fucking help.
And there's some flashback to it seems like they're in high school maybe or they're in like a school cafeteria and he's like whispering to some other girl.
Yeah.
And what I take away and again don't know if this is the intention is that they had sex. He sort of blew her off and the next day she's seeing him, you know,
yeah,
whispering.
That's how I interpret
he
it.
He says something about that. They both have lines
sort of.
Throughout.
Yeah.
Where he says something where he's like, I should have been nicer.
Yeah.
And then she, when Paul later is like, why didn't you pick me? I would have had sex with you. She's like, well, I'd already had sex with him. It wasn't a big deal.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that is like, because he dies and it doesn't fix anything. And then I to me, again, with that sort of like, you have to confront this thing together. They didn't. They just fucked. And again, like, I don't think the movie even like judges that of just being like, sure, yeah, sometimes you just want to fuck. But I think that.
You don't think it judges that even though they kill him?
I mean, like, by his mom, which is most like horrible. I hate that part.
Horrifying.
So I think they're judging him. I don't think they're necessarily judging her choice to do that sort of thing. And then I think they come back around at the end and going like, we're not saying that like sex and this togetherness are the same thing. I think they can exist separately. And then I think at the end with Paul, and I do, there is, part of it might be in the casting, where I'm just sort of like, I don't know.
I love
about
Paul
and Micah Monroe.
Because she's just such a smoke show, you mean?
Yeah, and then Paul, and like the way Keir Gilchrist plays that, I really like the way he plays that, and I buy it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, again, like knowing that it was like a straight white dude who did it, I was like, I'm always kind of going like, are you really being
yeah.
like, boy, if I was Paul, wouldn't that be great?
That's how the nerd gets the girl. Yeah, he has to sign on for death.
Yeah. There's always that voice mechanism. But I think that is the difference at the end of being like, no, like they have been friends for a long time and they can talk about it, and there is a togetherness there that there isn't with Greg. Right. And a sweetness,
yeah.
And with Yara and with Kelly, with the sister too, or that like group, like they do look out for each other. And like there is that, even when they're doubting her, they fucking support the hell out of her, and it's something that I also just think in general you don't see that much in horror movies.
Yeah, I wrote that down. I love that, where everybody believes her except for one person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where usually it's like no one believes you except maybe one person.
And they are like, you buy that they kind of care about each other in a way.
But part of it is seeing, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fact that they see Hugh Jeff drop her off in the road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That horrible scene.
Yeah.
And then they see the beach stuff, which he's off peeing, and he doesn't see any of it.
Yeah.
The hair going up is such a fucking easy. I remember the first time I saw it going, motherfucker, that's so easy and so good.
Easy how?
Just like it's such an effect that I'm shocked isn't used all the time just to convey that there's someone there coming up. And like that's not like a gazillion dollar effect. You know what?
Do you know
like,
how they do it?
If they didn't, they might have done it with wire, honestly. It might have been as simple as that, or it might be an animation. But it only cost $2 million, I think, to make that movie.
Wow. Yeah, it's at like $1.3 million.
Yeah.
That's the budget.
Yeah. And I think probably they just had a fucking C-stand above her and just put something in her hair and
lifted
it up.
That's what I love about this movie so much, is it's so simple. Everything about it is so simple. The idea of like the monster is something that nobody else can see.
Yeah.
And I love the scenes that they include that in there of like, especially in the beginning, the girl running Annie, which is a Carpenter thing to Annie from Halloween, that she's running around and we don't see, and everyone's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And that whole thing, and we don't know, we're not on board yet. We're one of the watchers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see it with Hugh at the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is my favorite part of that whole thing.
Yeah.
He's like, that girl, and then freaks out and is like, I don't feel good. We gotta go.
And when he's wrong, when he does it to that lacrosse player, like the field goal hockey player,
so
it's such a funny moment.
Do you see that person?
Like, and then she just looks at him, you're like, huh, okay,
and the music drops.
Yeah.
As soon as they're like, yeah.
See, I love the first, is it the first like two scenes? So first the girl on the beach, her running around, although she goes into the house for a second, and I'm like, change out of those heels. Why are you running around
the heels? I did write, I don't understand the heels because she doesn't seem comfortable in them.
No.
The heels seem crazy.
It's a strange choice. I mean, so I love that and then the beach, but then by the time the movie's over, it doesn't make sense in a way that I want it to, which is like, why are you going somewhere where you're all alone? Well, and just basically waiting to die?
Yeah, because I think she gives up.
She gives up, I think.
Because she doesn't have friends with her. She's all alone.
She makes a point of having to apologize to her dad.
Right.
That phone call, which
I
is
love you. I love
very
you so
sad.
Much.
I love you. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm such a shit to you. Yeah. Which is fucking awful to hear. It's so, like, in any movie, I don't want to hear that because it's so sad.
And
just
the
being
reverse
like,
shot
like that.
Where you just see her car with all the lights on and we don't see anything, but it's like so clear that it's there.
Yeah.
Because it holds on it for so long. Yeah. Of like, it's almost like I can imagine after seeing it and then rewatching the scene, you're like, I can imagine it coming now.
Yeah.
And I also to what you're saying, like a lot of people I know like had that, like, what are the rules here? And I think it is one of those things where I think for whatever reason, all art does this, like, sometimes you're just willing to go,
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and how it hits you.
Thing.
Yeah, it's such a person, and there's no rhyme or reason to why. Like, there are things about it I can point to that I know I'm going to be into. 2014, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Like, that score, like, that honestly got aped by, like Stranger Things. Like, like, there's a lot of people who kind of, like, have
that
done that since.
Amazing.
It's killer. And, like, it steals a little bit from the entity and stuff, but it's so good.
Yeah.
It sets the whole tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does.
And the look of it and like this weird,
like, reverb-y, feedback-y kind of pulse or heartbeat
And that and it's just driving and it like really sells this like, hey, it's coming and you aren't going to stop it. Mm-hmm. But then every now and then when they first go to that pool, that I guess theme, if you want to call it that, do-do-do-do comes in and like suddenly you're getting melody in it. It's such a weird, it's almost triumphant.
Yeah.
And that sort of like dreamy way it's shot. And I think Micah Monroe, I don't know if that's how you say her name, is such a good genre actor. Yeah. Like, she's great in this. She's great in The Guest. She was great in the in Villains, which came out this year, which is really fun. And it was, like, tiny. And I randomly saw the Alamo Drafthouse, and it's basically her and Bill Skarsgård are two people, and they rob a convenience store, and they're driving down the road, and their car runs out of gas, and they're, like, two, like, idiots who rob, like, oh, fuck, and they find a house, and they break in, and it's Keira Sedgwick and... I forget the actor's name. It's their house, and they seem like a nice couple, and then they turn out to be lunatics.
Sounds good.
To trap them. And it's like one of the. It's one of those ones. It's just simple and fun and like funny.
I do love like a simple contained story.
And she's totally different than that. She's like kind of more boisterous and loud. Like in this and The Guest, she's a little more like sullen teen.
Yeah.
But
I
do
love
see The Guest.
How
The Guest
is. She is.
Yeah.
Like, I just love her character. And normally, like, I like more talky characters, which has come up a lot where I'm like, they weren't talking enough for me to identify with them. But I just like her right away, especially with the line that I think Yara says where she's like, your sister's so pretty, it's annoying.
Yeah.
And then you kind of feel that she feels it's annoying. Like, everyone just thinks I'm pretty because she goes on all these dates, but she's like, Paul, like, why haven't you talked to me or whatever? Yeah. Like, why don't you sleep over here anymore?
And there's that shot. Again, he does all these, like...
Wait, he says he never sleeps over anymore. And she's like, well, there's a reason for that, which I assume means hormones. And
yeah.
But I don't know for sure.
And I love that they talk that way.
Yeah.
You know, because it feels like so much, like, adults making a movie about teens becomes adult thinking, this is how I would act as a teen, right? And I think, like, the ways to get around that is either you, like...
Consult with a teenager.
Yeah, just be around them.
Right.
Or go or do, like, Rian Johnson's Brick and be like, it's not... It's fucking
that.
Its own thing. I love it. But in this, I was like, that those conversations where they talk about, you kissed my sister, and it's just sort of, and like...
You feel like a teenager watching that scene.
It brings those feelings of just being, like, not even knowing what you can't say and having this conversation because you're friends and you're around. Like, it really... feels real to me. And again, like I said before, like, their level of horniness feels so
palpable.
Authentic, where it's all around them, but they're not. Because, and again, like, that's probably me projecting my teenage years out, but like, that is something that's not like a lot of horror movies where it's like, the parents aren't around, the teens are going to fuck all the time. It's like, no, the parents aren't around. They're going to sit on the porch and just think about touching briefly. Like, and then like, fuck, yeah.
I love that. And I love that scene also because it does tie in thematically, which again highlights my annoyance with the idiot being shoved in. Because that is like, they're talking about formative sexual experiences in the midst of this additionally formative sexual experience for her that's like terrorizing her and ruining her life, and the contrast of the two
also,
I think, is
that
fun.
Sexual experience I think is so interesting because she has consensual sex with Hugh Jeff, whatever his name is.
He tells her his name is Hugh, and then later we find out his name is Jeff.
You can pick any name in the world, you pick Hugh. So
I know, that's a strange name to pick. And they have consensual sex, and I like that it's shot in a way that they're both sitting up. He's not on top of her. She's not on top of him. It's like an equal. It's like as equal as you can be with sex.
Yeah.
And then he chloroforms her.
Yeah.
And then he does this whole thing where he doesn't really do anything. So then when the police come later, they're like, we don't really know what we're questioning. What's the crime?
Right.
And then later they call, one of the sisters calls it sexual assault.
Yeah. I noticed that too.
And
that
I thought
so
all of that was interesting about like, what exactly does happen? Because we all agree that, like, he chloroforms her and then he ties her up.
She says sexual assault. I think she just says assault because she is
she's
tied up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. All of the kind of,
I know,
like,
I like that they're not
of
sort of vilifying, like, the fact that she has sex consensually to me is, like, more of not vilifying sexuality.
Yeah.
Even though it could be because then she's punished. But it's like... And also that he has his own code of ethics.
Yeah.
He's fine to
put
her in.
Flawed, but And it is like, I think that is like, there's a really horrible version of this movie to be made and where it is she is punished for having sex, right? And I remember hearing it being like, oh boy, this seems like it's going to be a movie where people and this very pretty young woman is the lead and she's going to be punished for having sex. And I think that might have been why the first time I saw it, I was like, oh wait, this isn't what I thought it was. Yeah. And something I'd never thought about, just mentioned that too, the sex is like, oh yeah, they are both sitting up in that first one, and when she has sex with Greg, he's on top and she's passive, and when she has sex with Paul, she's on top of him.
I noticed the same the second two, but I never thought of the first
one. Yeah, me neither.
It's almost like she starts kind of as an equal loses her power.
And then gains it. Yeah. Like, that's really interesting that I had never really thought about. And again, I think, I would say this no matter what movie we're talking about, but I think he, the director of this particularly promotes it, but I would go like, yeah, and I don't know if it's very likely that that wasn't intended at all, the way movies get made. It's just, I don't know, we want to mix it up, but it doesn't matter because the finished thing says something whether or not you intend it to, and I think that's interesting.
See, and that's digging for deeper meaning, which you said you hate, but I like.
It's not that I hate it. I just get annoyed if I, like when I saw Mother, Mother, with the exclamation point, and then afterwards I was like, I know it means something. I don't know what. Because I wasn't religious, so I didn't get it. But what I was going to say is I also love in that opening scene, or one of the opening scenes, where right in between the sex and the chloroform, when she's like playing with the weed on the ground, and she's talking about like when I was a kid, I thought dating, like what it would be like. And then him at the movie theater, like who you want to trade places with, he picks a kid because it's like your whole life is behind you. There's like this
interest. Oh. Tell your daughter that.
Right. Yeah,
well. Your whole life is behind you. Yeah. You're 17 months. But this whole idea that's tied to when, like, with sex comes a loss of innocence.
Right.
And, like, now you're an adult, whether you are ready for it or not, because it's an adult thing to do is to have sex.
Well, and I love, that she's like, or at least this is how you said it. I don't remember if she exactly says this, but the, when I was a kid, I thought dating, and to us, it's like, you're still a kid.
Yeah.
That funny thing of like talking about, well, now that I'm adult, because I've
17
had
or 18
sex,
years old, and you're like, well, I can see the world as it is now.
Another thing, again, maybe just wanting more meaning that's not there, is there's an ad in the theater lobby for Charade, and I love Charade, so I'm like, where's that going to...
I think that's what they were seeing.
There was.
Oh.
They were seeing Charade.
But also, for no, they only watch old movies, which is baffling. Like because they go see Charade, and then on the TV, it's like...
Killers from Space.
Yeah, it's all this old stuff, and that is that sort of like weird dreaminess of being like, what is this world? Yeah. Like, this is 2014 Detroit. They show a lot of burned out houses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then also they are not living in... It is not our world. I think probably, too, that was a little bit of him, of the movie going like... I want to have my cake and eat it too, which if I'm locked in, I'm fine. If I'm not, then I'm like, fuck you, movie. Of being like, I'm going to set this up as not so that no one thinks this is how kids, they're not going to see Charade all the time and reading The Idiot on birth control.
Well, and I love when they're in line for the movie. One of my favorite lines of the whole movie is when she's like, when my sister and I are bored, we always play this game. And he goes, you're bored?
Yeah.
Like, he can't believe that waiting in line with him on this date is boring. And it's like, of course it's boring. You're not talking. But it's that, like, awkwardness of, like, a first date, and it's not going super well, and they're, like, not compatible.
They also, I think, nail the scumbag look of him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, where, like, because I get the implication he's a little bit older than her.
Yeah.
Not a ton, but, like, a little bit older.
He looks a lot older than everybody else.
Yeah, and he's got that horrible chin strap beard. And it feels to me, again, like I grew up in New Hampshire and Rhode Island a little bit. And in New Hampshire, dudes who looked like that were like the hotter older men to people. And now I'm like, fuck, what a bummer, you know. And it is in the styling, because he seems like a normal to attractive looking guy, but they give him this bad facial hair and this bad hair.
Maybe he's just a really good actor, because I fully am like, nope, he chose that. He looks that way.
Just day to day, that's how he's doing it.
Yeah, I don't like it. She reminds me so much of the former Mrs. Ben Stiller.
Oh, Christine Taylor?
Yeah, Christine Taylor. And there's like a funny thing to me of that like cheerleader, like Marsha type, that I always like as a Jew growing up around a bunch of other Jews, like don't get and kind of get lost in. It's so like foreign and exciting to me. And then I love that she puts on this like puka shell choker. Like,
yeah.
What? What is that?
There's a... you said you haven't seen The Guest?
No.
Should you? Have you seen The Guest?
I think I saw it a long time ago.
With Dan Stevens.
Yeah, yes. It came up as like a recommended movie. And it's like, oh, I want to see
it. I also love it. It's also another very small, weird, like fun, weirdo thriller. But she has a reaction in that that is one of that I remember seeing in the theater that just like destroyed and still makes me laugh, where the premise of The Guest is Dan Stevens served, I think, in Afghanistan with this family's son, and he comes to who died, and he comes to their house, and he's like, I served with your son, and I just want to give him my respects. And they welcome him in. And, like, from the get-go, you're like, there's something wrong with this guy. Mm. And it, you know, spins out from there. He's an attractive man.
Yeah.
And she plays kind of this, like, mopey, kind of, like, gothy, almost like Bauhaus listening, like kind mm-hmm. of teenager who's just annoyed that he's around. And there's a moment where she's pissed that he's in the bathroom, and he opens the door and comes out with like a towel, and he's like ripped, and her facial reaction is so fucking funny to it. And they just play it being like, okay, yeah, this is the first time you've seen a man in your small Texas town that looks like
right.
this. And he comes out and he says, oh, sorry, and walks by. And I'm like, I think she's such a good, fun, understated actor mm-hmm. when I think pointed in the right direction. I yeah. didn't see the second Independence Day movie, but she's in it.
Oh. I did.
Yeah. And I wonder if that doesn't serve her talents.
It does not.
Yes. That's what I would guess.
Oh, that's so fun. I think that also, the way you described it anyway, sort of
it serves, by the way, it serves no one's talents. just like, even Jeff Goldblum, not great at that
wow.
movie.
Yeah. I think it kind of mirrors a moment in It Follows where it's like, have you thought about passing it on? And she's like, I don't, you know, and like Paul looks up.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully.
Yeah. Like, just a weird puppy dog. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's several moments where he's like, I want to help. She's like, do you? And it's like, yeah, he wants to fuck you. That's yeah. what he means when he's saying he wants to help. I mean, I think it's both.
I yeah, think he I think wants it's both. To help. And I think that's too well.
Another, when he sleeps on the couch, which is so brave, when he's yeah. like, I can stay over. And they're like, like, yeah. you're not going to be helpful.
Right.
What does he say? Like, if you stay over, like, the scariest thing will be you humping her leg or something.
Yeah.
And, like, he's trying to be, like,
yeah.
the man kind of in the situation, and it's so adorable.
And I keep coming back to it because it is so much, like, I think about high school and about growing up and, like, those interactions where, like, in most movies that would be treated as a, like, fuck you guys,
right.
you know? Like, that would be a real – but, like – I
he
just,
takes it in stride.
He takes it in stride. He's like, yeah, I got to deal with it. Like without – undermining the fact that he's like, no, but I really would like to fuck her. You know what I mean? Like both are happening, and I just buy that as very real in a way that this movie makes me go, oh, it's so hard to do that because mm-hmm. so much of that stuff is like underlined or pure abstraction, and you
right.
get you know what his want is, and you also know why he's sticking around, and that they are legitimately friends,
right? There's like a closeness among all of them that feels
yeah.
very real and sweet without and like, being saccharine.
And he believes her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like there's
Which is
no
like
reason,
so important.
There's no reason for Yara to be in this movie. She's pretty mm-hmm. funny, but like she serves no story purpose
yeah.
and she's barely paying attention half the time. But
she's
like,
just off in the lake.
Yeah, just floating by. And
why
I mean,
do you think
it
she is?
Might be for that moment, which is so good, where you see her coming down the path.
Oh my God.
And you're like, is that it? Well, it's Yara. So I don't know. And then she floats by on the mm-hmm. turnaround.
And then no one sees her too, because
yep.
What's his name? Greg?
It's,
all of my notes just say hot neighbor. Hot yeah. neighbor gets up and walks to pee, and he
doesn't
see
her. But you don't know it if he's...
And that's the moment for me when he walks by and doesn't notice her, where I was like...
Yeah, there's a lot of moments of her in the background. Like,
yep.
there's like two moments before she's really clear
yep.
where I'm like, oh.
Well, you know it's that actress. Because yep. I didn't realize
oh.
it when I first.
No, yeah, I didn't realize. You see somebody moving yep. in the distance.
Right.
In a theater, it's clear it's her right away.
Oh, interesting.
You know, just because it's so much. So it's like, okay. But then you spend the whole thing going, I think this is a fake out. Is it a fake out? It might not be.
Right.
And I like that tension of going, oh, I don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
That moment, the inner tube moment, is one of my favorite moments, and then the big scare in it of the
tall man
through the doorway
oh,
is
yeah.
such
this
a good scare.
Movie really scares me. It's really that's part of what I love about it is it's really effective for me.
Yeah.
Of like my dog was on my lap for some of this, and then like 20 minutes in, bailed on me because I wouldn't stop gasping at things, and she was like, "You're stressing me out." But it's like I love the setup. The whole scene where he ties her up and he's like, you need to listen to me. These are the rules. This is what this movie is about.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very clear, I think, that, like, he's done this before and mm-hmm. he didn't tell someone the rules and they got killed. And that's why he has, like, this really elaborate setup now where he's like, you have to listen to me. This is what's going to happen. You have to spread it.
I don't
It'll
like
come back
that
to me.
We don't know how he's put this together. It seems like he has more information than
yeah.
I believe.
He is the movie going, look, we got to get this out somehow.
Right. Yeah. But then, and that's where I'm like, okay, if we just didn't know the rules at all, I could get by. But it's this weird straddling thing of him.
That's my interpretation, though, of him saying, like, of him trying it before and, like, not telling the girls, and then they get murdered, which is what Hot Neighbor does.
Yeah.
See, it's like he clearly just has sex with some girls and doesn't say shit. Mm-hmm. And that's why he gets, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
I never put that together.
Yeah, because then it cuts to, after they have sex, it cuts to him chatting up some girls at lunch.
Oh, I thought that was like a flashback.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure, but I think it's like, I think it's played as being like, he sleeps with her and then he goes and flirts with other girls, which sucks.
Right.
But then also, is he purposely trying to pass it on? Then you find out he doesn't believe it.
That's right. What I thought is he passes it on because we have a similar scene after,
yeah.
After
I think he goes
Paul
and fucks someone
sex.
Else.
Yeah.
Because he's just an asshole.
Because that was part of my issue with the rules is I'm like, why sometimes does it take forever to catch up with the person? But if he was sleeping with other girls, then that makes sense. Although I don't know why. Well, I guess maybe that's why.
What?
No, because she hasn't had sex with him yet. I was going to say, I don't know why it doesn't get her in the hospital. Like, that's easy.
Because it has to catch up from the lake. It's walking. Because they had driven really far away.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, is like, it'll catch up to you eventually, but like he says, it's
that's
not
part of what didn't make sense to
it's
me.
It's also crazy clear how much time is unclear how much time has passed. Yeah. This might be 48 hours, this might be a summer. Like it's very
when she's in the
or just the over movie. The whole movie. Right. Like I feel like I never have a great grasp of how much time has passed since the last thing I saw.
That scene I think feels so clear because she gets into an accident with a car. So what are they going to do? They're going to have to like walk over to get her, call the ambulance, at which point definitely this thing could catch up.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things why I support this movie is it's that it's the Michael Myers thing of like, it doesn't speed up. It just keeps walking at the same pace. Like he says, it's not dumb. It's slow, but it's not dumb.
Right.
So like, it's always coming for you. But it doesn't hurry its pace.
But
even
still.
Like when she's sitting at the beach and it's Yara coming up, you'd think like it could hurry up, but she's right there. She doesn't see you, but it doesn't. It keeps its same pace the whole way. It's
I
never
still think
running.
It could have caught up with her.
I think that's the main place that car accident. Like if I want to try to justify it, it is whoever was in that truck gets her out of there. Mm-hmm. But that is like the main moment where I'm like, she only drove down the.
Yeah.
Fairly long driveway. Where I'd be like, yeah, probably could get there.
And they're panicking, having to get a phone or drag her to the car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they could get her in that time.
But
but we don't know because we don't see. We don't know how she gets out
of
the car.
It does a lot of like in the edits of being like, again, like this might be 2 days later. It might be moments later where you just kind of like jump ahead. Mainly because it's an interesting movie where you're normally in her head.
Yeah.
You're normally seeing the world from her, but you do get glimpses from
Paul, like with Greg
from Kelly, from Greg. You catch the world through these other people's eyes in an interesting way sometimes, but it's firmly Jamie's movie, and I think that is probably how they justify some of those edits, but it is kind of interesting when you do choose to go over this moment when Paul's sleeping in the car and they're kind of talking. I think it might be during the "well, why don't you pass it on" thing, and he wakes up and he kind of looks. And you're like, okay, yeah, we're jumping over to him now, but you're never with him enough to fully.
Right, and you never get that moment with Yara. Really, you kind of get it with them as a trio when Jay's coming back.
Yeah,
but you're never just with her.
Yeah.
One thing, because so my favorite parts are that opening scene / I think the scariest image is her dead on the beach. Like, nothing scares me.
You know what's
as
funny?
Much.
That does nothing for me.
See, and when you're talking about, they're coming slowly and steadily, that does nothing for me. I'm like,
I'm
not scared.
Tall man
of you.
Is
I can
the scariest
run.
Moment.
Tall man's get tall
100%.
Man. And then there's a bullshit jump scare that gets me every time, and even when
it's
the ball.
The ball got me again too.
And the movie fucking knows. And I know I've seen the movie I think 4 or 5 times. And like, I know it's coming. The fucking ball's going to scare me, and it hits the god because I forget which bathroom scene it's in.
Oh, I knew.
And
it was,
I think it's a later one,
I
and then the ball scares me.
That part drives me crazy because this is the third time I've seen it, and like with lots of time in between each viewing. And Brad was, like, coming in and out while he was doing stuff. And he was sitting in for that moment. And I was like, I know the ball scene's coming. I know that. I was like, the reason why this movie is so effective to me is because he lays out the rules where he's like, it's following you. And then she doesn't buy into it right away. And she just goes home. And I'm like, you have to move. Like, you have to keep going. It's coming for you. I know it's coming. And, like, do something. And then I know the ball scene's coming. I know it's going to scare me. It did it anyway, and it still scared me because it's a large. Because I'm easily startled,
and you're on alert. You're waiting for somebody to come get her.
And same with the tall man scene. I know it's coming. I even like I was
tall
like
man.
Taking notes on my computer, and I like lifted it up like this because I was like, I know he's going to come between. I know he's coming behind Yara. And then she opens the door for her friends, and I thought it was going to be that time. Yeah. And so then even then I was like, I know it's coming, and then it didn't come right away. And
you're
it still got
waiting
me.
For it.
The balls, the ball jump scare too, isn't because the first time you see the movie, you don't know what way the movie's going to be scary yet.
Yeah.
Like, and like, so I remember seeing it, might be, oh, this might, it might burst through the window. I don't know yet that it's going to be this more like tense thing. So that ball comes early enough that it could be the thing. Like, if that happened in the third act, it wouldn't get me as bad because I'm like, that's not what this movie does.
Yeah.
But at that point, you don't know. Like, the big scare you had before was the leg, the horrible broken leg, and like that hard cut. So, like, it might be that type of movie.
And it's interesting because what you're laying out is basically the rules of the cinematic world. Like, I'm annoyed that the plot rules aren't clear, but you're right that cinematically the rules are very clear.
Yeah.
So the ball is like a disruption of what ultimately are the rules.
And it's just thrown
universe.
By those pervy neighbors that just like peep on her all the
time. Yeah, which later you see one like on the roof like looking in and it's like, ugh.
So that's one of the neighbors. I was like trying to figure out, I was like, is that Paul? Is that?
It's the kids who were like when she was in the pool and she's like, I know you're there.
I see.
It does this weird, and again, like, I don't know if it necessarily means anything, but it like the camera does all this voyeuristic stuff and that those pushes are both like obviously represent like the same thing as the monster coming towards them when you do all those pushes, but it's also there's a lot of stuff in the foreground sometimes when you're watching things and it's kind of from far away, and I have no idea what the intent, if there was one, that's supposed to be for, but like those kids are part of that too, and I think part of it probably ties into how pretty she is, like in this like kind of depressed suburb. Even that shot when we...
I think she's too pretty to live here.
Yeah.
That, like, people don't like her almost. Like, she's, like, excluded almost because she's so pretty that she's not, like, a person.
And the first time we see Greg, I think he's with another woman, and the other woman's like, ugh, those people are such a mess.
Oh, that's the mother.
Like, yeah, that's right.
That's like, his mom?
Yeah.
I thought he was in the car with, like, a girl.
I think
she is female, but...
Well, she's in the car...
But you're right.
He's in the car with a girl when she runs out of the house screaming.
Oh, that's what I thought you were talking about. Okay,
but then earlier when, after the sexual... Or the assault.
Right.
When the cops are there, he's inside looking out his house window, and the mom says, like, those people
are such a mess.
That's right.
And, like, that's that weird, different type of voyeurist. You know what I mean? Like, that's interesting. And we don't know what's going on. Seems like dad's dead.
And not around.
I think we never see mom's face. We just see her from behind.
We see parts of her face.
Yeah.
We never see
we never get a good shot of her.
She's always obscured.
And then she disappears from the movie fully.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some of seeing people from afar. Like you were saying, maybe it was clearer in theaters. And I did see it in theaters, but I don't remember well enough to say.
I saw it at the Vista.
Me too.
Which when they go into like that vintage movie theater and I'm at the Vista, I was like, I'm at the right place for this.
When she finally tracks down Hugh and we see his mom, I read that that's the woman who's like following her in the beginning when she's in the wheelchair. But I could not
tell. The naked lady. That's what I read
back.
Too.
Oh. And looked, and I was like, I still can't see her face. I can't tell that that's her.
Yeah, I don't know if that. I think because that's the same thing with the dad. I didn't know the first time I saw it because I didn't notice the photos.
Right.
And they do show a photo after.
Yeah.
I still didn't.
So that
I still couldn't tell. Yeah.
So that you can tell they're trying to be like,
see,
did you get it?
And the other thing I've repeatedly meant to look up to see if this is true, but I don't know if it is. That I always think when I'm watching it is when they find the photo of Hugh and it's him and like a cheerleader. Is that
the girl
Annie?
From the is it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because I've never followed through on the Googling.
Yeah.
Is that the girl from the beginning?
Yeah.
It follows.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so that made me crazy, and maybe I just missed something. But they go to this weird house with Greg.
Oh, I do want to say right before all that stuff, I just want to say the first real, like, she finds someone following her, the old lady, I think is so effectively scary, where she's in class.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such a long shot of her just kind of sitting, and we see first the old lady coming across campus. And you get to see her come, like, a whole lot of the way across campus. And she walks in between these two people that are, like, on the grass, like, studying or something. She walks right between them, and they have no reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is, like,
and it's so good. It's such an interesting, like, rip from Halloween and also a shift. In Halloween, he's standing still, and that's what's terrifying.
Right.
And in this one, she's moving, and that's what's terrifying. But it is the same basic bit. I can't remember.
And then she takes off, and she's in the hallway, and the old woman's coming, and she's like, hello?
Right,
and those two girls don't notice the girl. They don't notice her.
Well, they can't see her. Yeah.
I know, but that's always like, and then that's kind of your thing later is like, do people notice? And I kept trying, especially like at the end when you don't know if the one behind them is it or just a person. And there's that guy who's like doing yard work.
Yeah.
And every time I'm like, I just want to see if he sees that person. like that's part of, to me, that's part of some of the rules is like you're always looking to see if other people see that person there.
And there's the girl at the other school when they find out who Hugh is, when all those rotating shots.
I love those rotating shots.
And she's just always, I don't think she's ever in focus until the very end, and they never even notice her. Like, only you as a viewer notice her.
I love that. That I know that that's like maybe an artsy, like, look at what I can do with a camera shot where it just keeps rotating and the music is so good. But like, as someone who studied film in college, I am like horny for that shot. Yeah. I'm just like, I love it. It's so fun of like, where are we? Who are we following?
What are we going to see next?
They're not paying attention. Yep. I can see she's coming. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so about that picture of Hugh and going into this, what? Why? He just happens to open a book and there's a picture of him? Like, do they know where he lives? I'm confused.
That's
about
the address that he gave her. Because she's like, I only know where he lives. I've never been, because he says he's embarrassed.
Okay. But he gave her an address?
Yes.
Yes. Because I think that was the implication was like, it's weird not to like to pick, like, oh, come pick you up. I live down there. So she goes, that's where the house they go to, which seems to be, it's unclear why he goes. My read of it is that's where he goes when the monster's after him.
Right. Yeah, my take was he wants to pass it on in a different town so that it's not close to him.
Right, but then why does he give her an address?
I think she's – I don't know if she's picked him up because I don't think she has a car. But, like, she says, I've been there. I've never been in. So I think she thinks he's, like, from the bad part of town.
Right.
And I think that's part of, like, the deal that's going on there. So then they go back.
Because there is a little bit of, like, why would you go out with someone if you didn't? No, he's like clearly not from that town.
Yeah. Well, I do wonder how they even met, but she doesn't know his last. Like, it's weird that you would know someone's address and not their last name.
Yeah,
I don't know. These are things that I didn't have a problem with. Like, logically, I'm like, okay, there's to be something that she knows about him for him to be safe to go out with.
One thing that does bum me out about the movie is you said a movie in Detroit, and it's the whitest fucking cast I've ever seen in my life. And they have this little moment where they talk about it and how it's suburban
Eight Mile stuff.
But man, it rings weird to me. Yeah. I'm like, and I like all the actors in it. I think they're all good. Like, but
why is it feels so white?
Either what a fucking blind spot, or what choice did you make,
what
and why?
Yeah. I think all the its are also white. There's no its that aren't white.
I mean, that's kind of better if you're going to have an all-white cast to not make just the bad guys.
Just the monstrous boogeyman. Ghosts. Yeah.
But it does seem to be pointing out the disparity between the wealthy or middle and lower classes, because you see the nicer homes and the dilapidated homes. Yep. And then they address
the whole
thing
about why they can't go to the pool anymore.
But I don't know what that's saying either.
Yeah, and that's the one main thing where I'm annoyed that I don't know what they're trying to say, because I don't think they're trying to say anything.
Yeah.
And like, I think that if you're, what are you trying to say about, you know, relationships? I'm like, I don't care. Let me decide. You know, like, but what are you trying to say? Like, there's real world, you know, representation, like, and gross voyeurism and stuff going on there a little bit, to a certain point where I'm like, I do kind of want to know why we made these choices.
Right. Yeah. Have that.
Well, there's
for
an interesting.
Reason.
She says like, my parents wouldn't let me come anymore, and they're like, neither would ours.
Yeah.
So there's a weird, like, our parents are trying to protect us from this, but not from this thing that's going to kill us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's a good...
Like a weird priorities thing, because then the parents are never there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it still feels like it's somehow a comment on, like, classism or something, but that doesn't really...
It feels like
anywhere.
An aborted attempt at something.
Yeah.
Because
then there's also the fact that the mother's, like, they're a mess also feels like a comment on... Those people are trashy.
Right.
And it's hard. It's also hard to navigate because the world isn't ours.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that. I think if it was a movie that was clearly in our world, we'd be able to parse that a little bit. But we can't tell what, like, class structure her family's supposed to be in.
Right.
Because they're all using old, outdated furniture and technology. But that is also the world. But it is now. But, you know, so I can't even use visual cues to go... You are saying that they are sort of like the quote trashy family on the block,
I
or not?
Because it's interesting to not have a dad for Greg and to not have a dad for them, and just have one mother being like, they're trashy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it was just sort of pot calling the kettle black. Like the houses look really similar to me. It looks
so
like they're
similar.
The exact same upbringing, and so it's just wanting to draw a line. That same way when you like hate a quality in somebody, it's usually because you possess that quality. Mm-hmm. So it's her going, they're bad, to make herself feel good. Something about also the production design that I thought was really cool, and I screen grabbed it, so we can post it on the Instagram if you want to see. But there's... Before she goes on her date with Hugh, There's this great pink color story, like her dress. There's this floral like lamp that's pink, the jewelry box. And it even looks like one of the walls is like an accent wall painted pink. I don't think it is. I think it's a trick of the light. And then later on in the movie, where is it exactly? It all looks blue, even though it's the same room.
And her underwear in the chair, she's in that very like pink set. And,
Yeah. After Greg dies, the walls are like very clearly blue. I can show you guys if you're curious. First one. And this wall looks pink. Here, it's like all clearly
very
so blue.
Yeah. It's that dreamy. But you can tell that the walls are different colors still.
What do you mean? Here, they look like the same color to me.
Oh, not to me. The one with the air vent looks like it's darker.
Really? They look exactly the same to me. I wonder if it's just the angle of you looking at it.
I don't know.
Here. I don't know. I wonder if they like actually painted it and were like, this will be a subtle mood shift, or they just lit it differently, but it was cool to notice.
Let me pull back the curtain for 1 second and ask this question. You have so many notes written down in your, what I think is a notes app there.
Yeah.
And then you have, your on your phone.
But yes, but then I always feel bad because I feel like it looks like I'm on my phone, like...
I just want to get a sense about this relationship between the two of you. Like, okay, so like, is one of you the notes one and one of these color commentary?
Oh, no, I take a shit ton of notes. And my husband just did the episode. And when we were watching the movie for his, he kept going, what are you typing? Because I was taking so many notes.
She was doing it handwritten at first.
Oh, I used to do it handwritten. And then it was like, I felt like a serial killer. Because I was like.
It really depends on the movie. Sometimes I have copious notes and she has very few. And sometimes it's the reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And now I'm trying to be like, what else did I want to talk about? Because I just think this movie is so effectively scary in a way that I don't think all horror movies are. And I love the kind of scary it is because I'm scared the whole time I'm watching it. I'm on edge. Even when I leave the theater, I feel a little bit on edge. But I also feel weirdly protective because I didn't have sex with Hugh. I didn't have sex with her. Like, so I feel like it's not going to get me. But also I'm on edge. I was watching this in my apartment yesterday. And I opened the blinds. I'm on the first floor to be like, I need to let the world in because it'll make me feel safer.
There's a naked woman walking across the street towards me.
And there was an old lady that stopped. She must have dropped something, but she stopped right at my window and bent down. And my dog just started growling at her. And I looked over and was like, why isn't she going anywhere? Like, why is she still standing there? And it was this like, it puts you on edge and you don't know who the monster is and anyone can be it. And the only thing I don't like about that setup is where he says, it could be a stranger, it could be someone you know, whatever works to get close to you. And I just don't want it to be someone you know. I think it doesn't really benefit the movie when it's the dad.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it better.
Because you didn't even know.
I mean, but finding that out, I like it.
And it doesn't, to me, it doesn't benefit when it's Yara.
To me, it's almost the opposite. I'm like, a stranger. Why is it? It should just be consistent.
See, and I don't know why. Boy, this is going to be an unsatisfying conversation because I'm right in the middle where I'm like, I love that it's inconsistent. I can't think of something that, let's say, somehow I've stumbled my way into this It Follows world.
Yeah.
And I can't find the rhythm of what it is. Sometimes it's a naked stranger on my roof. Sometimes it's my best friend. Sometimes it's my dead dad. Sometimes it's just an old lady that I can tell is out of play. Like, I like that. That's part of what unnerves me so much is the refusal to commit to the rhythm of these things.
I mostly am with you. Where it loses me is that he says it's slow but it's smart and that it's going to use whatever it can to get close to you. And I think it would be so much more successful in killing Jay if it utilized that.
And that's why I don't like that line.
Yeah.
Right.
Is because I don't think it ever uses the people
I think his explanation
that it looks
is
like.
Weird.
The fact that it's like...
It does with Greg's mom.
Yeah. That's the one time we
but
really
she
see
doesn't,
it work.
But he doesn't even know that it's her. Yeah. He opens the door anyway because the thing doesn't
talk.
But
he could have.
But it could have been anybody at the door.
Right.
It didn't need to be his mom.
But it could, like if his door had been open or whatever. Like it was smart to do it even
and
though it
why
didn't
is a
mattering.
Hot neighbor walking to get hot neighbor? Like she looks down and she sees Greg in his underwear walking into and breaking into the house.
But I think that that's smart because then if anybody else sees him breaking in, they're like, he lives there.
Who can see him? Only the people infected can see him.
That's true.
But as far as we can tell, Greg's been fucking a bunch. So who knows?
Yeah, right. Maybe the whole neighborhood is going to know.
I love that.
That was one of my favorite shots, is him, like, all in white, barefoot.
Yeah. And the way he throws the rock is just stilted enough.
Yes.
Like, so, where, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's, like, robotic without being, like, real, like, you're just, like, and then he just kind of, like, flops in the window. And which which is also, like, oh, that's a, there's glass everywhere.
Right.
And he just falls with no, doesn't care. And I'm, like, that was so, if you saw someone smash a window in and then just kind of hurl their body in, you'd be, like, Jesus Christ, that's a crazy person.
Well, because part of it, I guess, one of the theories that I had read early on that I liked was that, you know, like, what do all these people have in common, the entities? And it's like the one of them is naked. Well, a few of them are naked. But, like, the first girl's naked. And then you see the girl that breaks into their house has got, like, one breast out and she's urinating and she's beat up. And there's kind of an element of sexualness to all of them, or, like, maybe sexual assault or... And there had been a theory that, like, maybe everyone had been infected by it.
Yeah.
And these were all previous people that it had killed. Mm-hmm. So then when it's like, and it's Yara, and it's the dad. I mean, maybe it could have killed the dad. But, like, it's Yara. There's something about that where I'm like, I just don't like it.
That's where I come back to, like, I think it is an act of, like, I think it kind of serves two roles, maybe a little bit of a cheat of, like, one for the audience and one for the character of whatever's going to scare you.
Right.
And I think that is, like, for Jay early on in it, yeah, like, this old woman who's visually out of place. What is this? This is upsetting. And then the woman missing teeth who's peeing on herself. That's horrifying to find in your kitchen.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, sorry, that gets
and
almost less
man,
scary.
Very
and
horrifying.
Tall man is so scary. Creepy kid coming in. But
oh, yeah,
Yara,
yeah.
Yeah. Yara at a certain point becomes scarier because, you know, like, even if Jay saw her, like, it would.
She could just be like, oh,
and
my
then
friend's
she grabs
here.
You. That would be the scariest thing that could
I
possibly happen.
I love that scene where it grabs her, too, because it does answer that question of, like, but what can they see?
Yeah.
Because they can't see her. So, like, what would they even
it's
notice?
A great 30 seconds of effect on the beach of her hair standing up,
the chair.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then just
pushes
flying.
Him.
Exactly. It's like all crammed in such a short period.
And,
and it's all invisible, which is great.
Yeah.
The shot of Greg desperately trying to zip up to be like, what's happening is legitimately very funny.
And she shoots at the thing and it almost hits Greg.
Yeah. And he hides behind
what the fuck?
A beach chair.
Yeah. Right. That's going to protect you. When she gets on the bike and she's running in that scene where you have the peeing girl and the tall man.
Oh, yeah. She's barefoot.
Yeah. She gets to the playground alone. And the shots of the woods around her scare me.
Yeah.
Just that feeling. It's also that sense of, like, agoraphobia.
It's coming.
And and it can come from anywhere. And it can be behind her. It can be ahead of her. And I always like the woods. And here I'm like, oh, this is scary. But the movie, the rest of it doesn't really scare me. Like, the opening scene of her sort of contorted, like we talked about, that's scary to me. But once I see someone slow, and I think maybe it's why zombies don't really scare me. Like, somebody walking slowly after you is not scary to me. Psychologically, it's much scarier when it's your friend or your dad.
Yeah.
Then it has, like, a very specific horror to it. But I'm not scared during
this
movie.
Oh, the Michael Myers-ness of it scares me. Because it's that idea of, like...
Jessica was like, I don't want to rewatch it. It's so scary. I was like,
this is one where, it does scare me. I feel scared talking about it right now. But there is the somebody running to me, it's like they're chasing you and maybe you can outrun them or something. It's very human to, like, run after somebody. But the idea of somebody just walking slowly and being like, you can run and hide all you want.
What do they
I'm
know
gonna
that
keep
you
walking.
Don't?
Yeah, that's very – it's, like, so confident.
I also think a bit of that split, too, that, like, I like, but I think might bug you a little more, Avital, is, like, at the end – it starts just throwing, like, toasters at her when she's in the pool together. And that's something we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Right.
And for me...
No, but I did like that.
I thought it was going to get in the water. Like,
right. So then does it have a problem with water? Because there's so much of this movie that has bodies of water.
I think it just knows she can get away.
They keep going to the beach.
I think that's the... It's a... Like, because it eventually goes in, but I think that's sort of
But it gets
like,
pushed in.
Yeah. But then just kind of like swims around and is fine.
grabs her leg.
I think it's not dumb of being like, it walks in. It's like, she's in this pool for a reason. And I'm now going to try to, I just need to kill her.
Yeah.
Sometimes we become the person's mom and fuck them to death. Sometimes we throw an iron and hit them in the head and hope they drown. Like, that to me.
No, I like that. There's a scrappiness.
Yeah.
That I like.
And it spooks me more.
Yes.
Being like, oh, it's not even
totally. It's much scarier to me than something slowly following
and
you.
And it's also not a ghost story anymore. And the ghost story, the ghosts are just kind of, the ghost does what a ghost does, right? You don't get a lot of like, okay, and now the ghost is fully changing how they behave.
Right.
And this does. I could see it bugging people, right, being like, no, that's not what it does.
I feel like it should bug me, but it
yeah.
doesn't.
But for me, I'm like, yeah, that's fucking scary that you think, okay, I've understood the rules of right. this thing, that, and all it does is walk towards me, and then it will crush me or whatever. And then sometimes like, nope, this is the way I'm going to do this thing.
Right. See, to me, it feels like subverting the rules in a way that I think is interesting mm-hmm. and that would work better for me if the rest of the rules
been
made
steady.
More sense. Yeah.
But that's why I don't like the naked man on the roof.
Right. Naked man on the roof
is the biggest
break.
It always says,
you're following.
Walking.
Yeah.
And then it's stopped. And I'm like, but it should be moving.
It clearly has like an internal tracker. Like it yeah. knows where to go.
Yeah, it's got a compass.
So the only reason to be on the roof is like for a view.
Yeah.
to like find her. But you know where she is.
If it was going to get in if she was on the second floor.
That's the only way I can justify it. And obviously.
As if she then ran downstairs and went out.
Yeah, is that it was just they liked the image. Like there's truly no way. But if I wanted to bend myself into a pretzel to try and justify it, it'd be like they had said it like right before, like, oh, she's locked upstairs in her room and she won't come out for anybody. There's some line where like
Greg. Oh, yeah, they say that to Greg because they won't let Greg up after his session.
And that like, okay, well, then you're going to crawl up on the roof and smash in that window. Right. Like that's the only way. But again, no, they just wanted how creepy it would be if you looked up on the roof and there's just a naked dude staring at
Which
you.
Is
it
funny
would be creepy.
Because I think it is creepy to everybody but me. To me, it's like almost this laughable moment where I'm like, why is this
naked man
on the
doesn't
roof?
Get me as much.
Interesting.
And I do have a problem with nudity, only in the sense of like, it's come up a lot because it's in horror movies. When someone's naked and they don't have any like
self-awareness about
of being naked, like in The Shining or in some of these, that always scares me because it's like,
so why isn't
they
this?
I think because it is out of place to me. Yeah. That one shot feels like it's not moving. Why is it there?
I also think it was because they've used multiple naked women as I think they were like, we should have a naked man in here at two because otherwise this feels like we're doing some weird, like, nothing more scary than a naked woman slowly walking towards you. And I think they probably were like, let's mix that up.
Okay, question for you guys about, well, I don't know if it's a question as much as a statement, but I do feel like Hugh has this weird moral code, sort of, that he abides by. But then, like, you couldn't let her get dressed first or, like, throw a blanket over her in the wheelchair. Like, I get that he maybe needed to sedate her to get her to take him seriously, but why can't she be clothed?
Yeah. Well, he drops her off not clothed, too.
That's what I'm saying. Why not, like, at least give her, like, he doesn't even, like, throw them out of the car after her. She's just there in her underwear.
I don't think he fucking cares. Yeah. He just gave her a curse. He doesn't care about her well-being.
Yeah, I think he preyed on her, targeted her, and doesn't actually care and does that just to, like, justify his own behavior. And I don't think it would even occur to him that maybe this would be less traumatic for her if she wasn't strapped to a wheelchair in her underwear.
He only cares about her well-being concerning him. She has to stay alive because then I'll stay alive. Right. If she dies, it comes after me.
And probably it's also a way of sort of dehumanizing her for himself so he doesn't feel as bad, if he would even, but feel as bad about what he's done. I'm just like, God, it'd be so easy to just throw a blanket over her or give her clothes back.
Well, they're
back.
In the car. I don't think they have a blanket.
Or give her clothes back because she's just like lying in the back seat.
And he could have prepped. He had a wheelchair.
Yeah.
He could have prepared
with a sweater.
Just come on by with something there. Yeah. Be like, okay.
Or just be like, hey, it's a little cold. Why don't you
Or honestly, dressed? Just like hold it for a little bit. Yeah, be like, okay, like we'll just hang out in this car, but I don't need to chloroform you right now. Yeah.
But he does. It's coming, guys. It's slowly coming.
There's also a great, like, that one. I don't know if I know this for a few times, but like when she's there and she's like lying in the car and she's like fiddling with the flower or whatever and she has her little monologue or whatever.
I love that part.
The background, you just hear the trunk close. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a nice little sound design of it. The movie doesn't miss it if it's not there. You're not like, where'd you get the chloroform? But just when you know it's coming, it just is awful. Yeah. It's just so fucking awful to hear that ka-chunk.
Yeah. I wondered also about the use of that T.S. Eliot, the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock when she's in class. And it also felt like sort of, again, kind of like with The Idiot, where it's just using it for that last line, that I am Lazarus, come back from the dead, come to kill you all. But I guess the movie is very fixated with how pretty she is. And there's a lot in that that's like about fear, I guess about vanity. But that never seems like it's her flaw.
No, I might be wrong.
Okay.
And I might be conflating a couple different movies. Is Prufrock what they're learning in Halloween?
No, they're learning Frankenstein, right?
I don't remember. There's
maybe I'm thinking of Halloween
you know
H2O.
What, I might have it in my notes.
I know, and one of them is learning Frankenstein. Because it's like the monster's always waiting. But
I forget what they learned. Because I remember the first time I saw it thinking that that was a specific connection to some other horror movie. But that was in 2014. There's also, around this time period, I feel like I saw a bunch of like, there were a bunch of good kind of like thriller, horror-y, lower budgety type of deals. And I'm I might be pulling in from another one of them.
Okay, I wonder.
And they all reference, like everything but The Witch is basically at some point being like, and like Carpenter did, you know, they just all steal a little bit from it.
Yeah. But why do you think, I guess it could be a nod to another movie, but do you think it has any specific value for this particular story?
I don't know. It's, I think there are a lot of those, like, quotes. I do think that there was intent there of, like, death is going to get you.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's coming. Whether or not that is deeper than a Google of literary quotes about death or not, I'm not sure. You know, it might be as simple as what the people are talking about around her she doesn't understand is the same thematically as what she's going through. Or if, no, this particular poem for this particular
like this
reason.
Line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Lazarus. Because I it was a teacher that I loved where I learned that. And so it has a lot of meaning to me. And then I get frustrated being like, you're just using this as commerce.
Oh, in the class scene?
Yeah.
That scene when she gets up to run out and the teacher's like, hey, where are you going? I'm like, this is college. They don't care where you're going. Like, you're an adult. You can do whatever you want.
Maybe she's got to pee.
Yeah. It's also the idea of just being like, you're walking out visibly panicked and in a rush. I would never be like, excuse me. What is happening?
I love when they do, when they're all sitting with Hugh and she, and it kind of mimics her playing with the flowers or weeds in the beginning when she's like tearing up blades of grass and just placing them on her leg.
Yeah.
I don't know why I love that so much.
Yeah. I like that too.
Yeah. I went on Reddit to see like, were there interesting things that I forgot about? And one of the things on there said like, and this is if you want like a real deeper meaning, which is that that's supposed to mimic like cutting. And then like later when she doesn't eat her food, that's supposed to mimic like anorexia. And then there's like a scene later where someone chooses pills in the hospital. They choose pills over something else. And that's supposed to be like drug addiction. All these things where it's like, I don't know if that's intended.
That's like, because I remember that that's those four lines.
Yeah.
But like on her knee too. You know what I mean? Like, and I remember going like, maybe, but the movie doesn't seem that interested in this, if that is what they're saying.
No, it's something, to me, it's very innocent.
Yeah. It does feel very kiddish.
Yeah, to me, it feels like what you do, how you channel your anxiety when you're stuck. And you can't just, like, walk away, or you don't want to just walk away, but you kind of don't want to be there. So you're like, I'll invest more in these blades of grass than in my than in the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that part. A lot of, like, little moments that I loved. I just had a hard time with the story on a macro level.
I like most of the movie. I don't love the final act.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I do feel like it feels like a disruption in the flow of the movie, that like we have a plan and we're going to this pool and we have this whole thing set up. I don't know why it doesn't necessarily work for me, but it's not.
I honestly think that hits harder if it's a little less ambiguous. I think if that, because I think like we've got a plan and this theme kicks in and we're going to go do it and it doesn't work.
And there's a thunderstorm.
And they just have to run away.
Right.
I would probably think that works a little bit stronger. But you leave that going, well, I don't think they killed it, but I'm not sure. And
the first time I saw it, I definitely thought they killed it.
Yeah.
And that was what kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it was that easy? You just had to shoot it again?
Yeah. Because I think the movie doesn't work if they kill it. So then, and I think, like, he won't say, but, like, he's pretty clear, like, no, it's still alive. And I think a little more clarity there that, like, no, there's a way to do it that's just that bummer ending I was talking, like, before, where I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But there's a way to do it of being like, no, of course this bad plan of throwing electric typewriters into a pool doesn't work. And then they run away, and then you go, okay, we can't stop it. What now? And again, like, I think that ties into
and
what I
acceptance.
Like about it. And we accept it, and I can't do this alone, and we're gonna, like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I like that a lot more.
Because I'm just, like, keep running. Go to Europe.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How long
is
it going to take it to catch
That's
on a plane?
That's what I was going to say. That's why I don't buy that there's just one and it keeps walking. It's like, you could just move.
That's
on
the other reason
plane.
Why I think
the director
class
said
is a issue. Like I think if I could understand their
could
financial situation
to,
more, it is, like, I think Detroit, sets stuff in Detroit, but, like, that matters to me of being, like, if you make it clear that these people can't just get on a plane and leave, then the horror hits a little bit harder. Yeah. And I love all the visual design, and I love how you don't know when and where it is in the dreaminess, but it cuts that. Yeah. And I think that's the idea, is like, no, you, that's not an option for these. Right. Like that's why, you know, Hugh goes and, like, when he has to hide out, goes in this burnt out place with, like, mm-hmm. old porn, and just like, because where the fuck else are you supposed to go? I buy that thematically. I just think some of the cool design gets in the way of it.
Yeah. I don't buy that it can walk that fast at that pace all the time. I wish that it was just like, it appears, you don't know. Plus, like, where is Hugh getting this information that it's always just walking to catch up with you? Because otherwise, I mean, maybe they can't hop on a plane, but they can drive really, really far away.
Yeah.
And it's still going to take forever to walk.
Well, that's what he says. If you go far away, it'll give you time. He's mm-hmm. like, he says that in his rules.
Yeah, but it still walks faster than.
I also thought about, I was thinking about this last night when I was watching. I was like, okay, yeah, what would I do? And I was like, oh, you go, okay, again, plane. I'd like, you know, move to Japan or whatever. But then you go, well, does that take years for it to get to me?
And then I forget.
And then I just have no, like.
How can you forget? You're not going to forget.
But you won't know the approximate time. Like, I wouldn't know how to calculate how long would it take a ghost to walk under the bottom of the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
So then is it weirdly better to go, I can just stay moving and know it's always like a day away from me versus.
Right.
It might show up in 6 months. It might show up in 5 years, and I will be fully unprepared, and I'll just die at that point. Like that's that. Like, I honestly don't know. And again, the movie doesn't really ask, but I was thinking about that for a while, being like, yeah, because you would let your guard down at a certain point.
Right.
You'd still remember, but you would just have no idea. Whereas if I was,
well, and no one will believe you, so then you start to be in denial. Like maybe it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Maybe it's gone. Maybe.
Whereas here, I'd be like, oh, I'll go to Santa Monica, and I bet I've got 12 hours or so.
Yeah.
Like, and I would know that. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and you don't know, like you're saying, it takes too much time or it's too fast or whatever. But there is something to where we don't know how far away they're driving. We don't know how long things are happening. It's part of the dreaminess of it, of like, you can't really say that because you don't know. Maybe they only drove an hour away and then this is 7 or 8 hours later. It's caught up. Like, there's a weird thing of like, I get that that's your feeling, but you can't back it up.
But also,
which is part of why the movie, I think, is somewhat successful, is because you can't be like, well, clearly they were in San Diego and that's this far away and it was this long ago.
Yeah, but they could also make it clearer in the way that you're describing. You know, it can be more clear that they only drove an hour and this is 5 hours later. Like, it is very dreamy, and sometimes I think it really works for the movie. And for me, in those moments, it works against the movie because I'm like, this feels too convenient for something that is only walking at a very slow pace. And also, why make that rule? Just let it appear.
Oh, it's supernatural. I don't like that idea of, like, it just appearing. That would undercut the whole movie.
That to me is just like more makes more sense. Because
I also love when she's in the boathouse hiding and it comes in one way and she exits, but she goes like by where it was like going in and it doesn't like change course. It's like, no, I'm on this course that's set to follow her. And it's like, just because she's coming around me, I don't exactly turn. I keep going on my path. There's something that I just like about the rule of that, of like, it's on this compass. It's like on the GPS. It's not changing.
It's not updating its route.
It's not doing that bullshit thing I hate GPSs do, which is like rerouting.
I do like it more knowing that that's her dad at the end. For some reason, that's like more fun to me. Because also when the sister says, what do you see? And she's like, I don't want to tell you. I'm like, you've seen so many more scary things than this.
Yeah.
And so I love when they throw the fabric over it.
Yeah.
And they see it. There's like some cool stuff with the invisibleness.
Yeah.
That I feel like the movie nails.
This is the smallest thing. I love how shitty that beach is. I love that you have no idea what time of year it is.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone's in these, like, tiny shorts hanging out at the shittiest beach, what looks like 50 degrees out. Like, I don't know why anyone's swimming in this horrible weather. And, like, I love, like, that dreaminess again, too. Like, that really kind of amuses me of just being like, yeah, you know what? Like, again, young teen, like, you just fucking go sit in a shitty park because where the hell else are you going to go? And, like, Yara's in the tube because what are we going to do?
And then later when she takes off her clothes and goes in to try to infect those people on the boat.
Yeah.
You think she's going in to infect those people on the boat?
Yeah. She's going to go fuck them.
I think she goes fuck those guys.
Because then the next scene, her hair is all wet as she's driving home.
I thought she just goes into the water and it's like a moment of freedom. And
no, she sees two men on a boat.
I remember,
I'm hot as shit.
But then...
To buy herself time.
She buys herself some time.
Huh. That's interesting.
Because that's right after Greg died.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's like, I've got, it's real, I got to pass it on. Because I like the hesitation. She hesitates so much before she has sex with Greg. And then when all that happens and she sees him get fucked to death, that like wakens her up to be like, I don't want it to fuck me to death. I got to fuck some other people to death.
I thought it was just this moment of her sort of kind of, again, talking about the inevitability of death and just enjoying the time you have. And so I'm going to go for a swim. Although I was like, you have a cast. That's bad. Don't get that wet.
I'm so tense in that movie being like, duh. You can't put your cast in the pool.
What are you doing? You're going
to have to reset the whole thing.
I do think that's funny. The implication of me on all these with Greg talking, cutting to him with the women.
Sex between the lines.
Her getting in there. Paul driving by the hookers.
Oh.
To me, those are all the implications that they're passing it on.
I thought the prostitutes were just like, again, sort of weird comment on classism. I'm like, why are they lingering on these prostitutes?
Because each of these shots is after something.
I think it's they're going to buy in time. And there's a jump, and I'm not entirely sure. I go back and forth on it, where after she goes potentially to the boat and she goes back and then they cut up to her bedroom and stuff, there's that shot of that sandwich again. And it has mold on it now.
And you think that's like...
I think it's a time jump. I think it's a... Again, like, I think the movie's purposely like, you don't care how long this takes. but I think it's a... They seem to have settled in because I think she bought them time.
Oh, that's cool. I think it also makes them worse people, but it's cool.
And I think it's specifically like, it's a tiny boat, but I think probably the idea was they're out on a boat. Are they safer?
Yeah, we don't know how good of a swimmer this thing is.
In the end, we kind of find out pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
As good or better than me.
Yeah.
Probably better than walking.
Yeah.
The cut from the pool, like, again, if it... Because I'm liking it more as we're talking about it. And the visual of the pool filling with blood is very satisfying. But yeah, to me, it does suggest they've defeated it. And that feels so arbitrary. And so I do wish, like you said, that there was a little more of them having to run out of there versus the way it cuts is like, we're victorious and now we're just going to stroll down the sidewalk.
I think if I could tweak one thing, I would have, and I think it could even be, I think you can still do the pool with the blood and they just get the fuck out of there. I would love one line of it's still coming.
Right.
You know, just
but I think
one
that's
line.
The having sex and putting a chair under the door.
Yeah. I think they tried
and then him going
it.
To prostitutes is like that. Fucking Paul's not going to a prostitute unless he's scared for his life.
Yeah. Also, he looks so dweeby driving that huge-ass car. Like, he just looks like a little kid stole a car.
I think for me, the pool would have worked if, like, the blood then, like, almost went in reverse, like, sucked back into the guy.
That's what
you
want to see them leaving, like, as they're, like, walking out. All of a sudden, we see it, but they don't see it.
I'm a little bit like, I would love to just see them leave and just see what is their headspace right when they get out of that fucking pool.
Yeah. Because
that was a disaster. One of them just shot their friend.
Yeah, it cuts to her in the hospital.
And I get they want to condense the time and we're wrapping up the movie, but I do almost want
to
be like...
That's a good spot to have. Just a couple more minutes.
Just a moment of them going, you know, like, I don't think you... Maybe you don't need dialogue. Maybe you just need a silent car ride.
Right.
And then you go on as is.
Yeah.
Oh, then you could have a funny line in the car where Yara is like, what do we tell the hospital?
Yeah.
Because she's a gunshot victim.
Yeah.
Or just glancing in the rear view with panic in the car helps.
I think there's one, I think it's like one missing shot. And again, like, I love this movie, but I do feel like that, because I don't think that makes it so clear that you can't take what you want from it.
Right.
But I do think it goes, it just underlines what I think it's saying is coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think it just makes it a little bit.
As opposed to the potential interpretation of just, well, that one gunshot really did it.
You know?
It's also funny to me that Yara's shot in the leg and Kelly is like cradling Jay. Like, it's okay, it's okay. Meanwhile, their friend is like bleeding out 2 feet away.
And then also like in the hospital for a seems like a good amount of time because they're feeding her and stuff. And like, I don't know, she's getting shot in the leg. I think she's fine. Like, that feels like an outpatient situation to me.
Well, I appreciate that you guys kind of helped fill in some blanks for me. I like it more than I did. Especially, I think I was, like, annoyed watching it this time because I was like, and then I know they're just going to beat it in the pool. And why does that happen? That sounds like jerking off.
Yes,
the
it
pool,
did. But. Yeah, absolutely. There's no other way to interpret what you said.
Defeat it. Defeat the it that follows.
Yeah. I
think it's a great, this is a great idea for a low budget thrill ride. Like,
that is, I do wonder if this cost like $50 million, I bet I'd have some different opinions. And it would be a different movie.
Yeah.
But like, just being like...
They pulled this off.
High premise, and they just kind of gun it, and they do it. And it is, I think, not exploitative, and I think it has a lot of opportunities to be. There's like some male gazey stuff, but like, not, like, again, like a lot of horror movies, it's not what you, again, if I pitch that movie, you have sex and a thing comes and kills you, not knowing it, I would guess a lot of things about what the movie would be.
That's true.
And it's none of them. And I think that's remarkable. Yeah.
Like, to me, we've done I don't know how many movies we've done so far, but more than 20 so far we've watched. And this is one of the top scary ones for me. This one scares me. It's effective. As far as, like, the physical act
scarier
of
scarier than Chopping
me.
Mall?
Oh, somebody looked up some of our
movies. That's right, Mono.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as far as, like, I'm not, like, scared now. I'm okay, which I like about it also. Thank you. But in the moment, the physical reaction of making me jump, this movie does.
If you are anybody in this movie, who are you?
I mean, I'm probably tertiary Yara, who just gets shot in the leg at some point, like, just is vaguely invested and then gets shot in the leg.
I thought you were going to go Paul, just because you were, like, talking about being the nerd in glasses.
I think,
scientist.
I think Paul is, I think I would probably at a certain point have to assert some sort of, like, Paul's a little too sad for me. I think at some point we're just like, gosh, he's so puppy doggy the whole way through. At a certain point, I'm like, Paul, man, like, you're really bringing down the room.
I don't know why this just reminded me, but before we ask Jessica the same question, what do you think it's about where, so early on when the creeps are sort of watching her floating around in her above ground pool, later we see that same pool and it's empty.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the passing of time.
I think it's more weird time. That's why I'm like, I don't
know
if this is
supposed
to be a seasonal shift and they just shot the whole thing over 2 weeks.
Summer's over.
But it's not like deflated and taken down.
It's straight up broken. Yeah, I don't know. But there's also like one of those like vacuums you use to pull the water out of in it. So like, I honestly, it might, I think it is an attempt to go, they bought themselves some time, but what do you do?
Gotcha.
But it is really weird because it looks like, in this movie, it looks like, was she in the pool and it came through the wall of the pool? What happened?
Right.
Like, it does look
like
that.
That's kind of what it looks like. And also, what you guys were saying about her swimming out to the boat to have sex with these guys makes sense. The way I was seeing it was, like, she kind of starts off in this, like, contained body of water that's safe. Oh. And as she becomes less safe, she goes out into, like,
Big open, whatever that is.
And then, like, the safe version is destroyed. Like, that's not even an option anymore.
Yeah.
Oh. Again, looking at the metaphors that you love so much, Jessica, who are you in this movie?
Paul. I think of all these people, I'd probably be the sad, like, the person that's like, I'm just going to, you know, if you need something, I'm just going to be right here, and I'll die for you. I feel like that's probably what I most relate to.
Yeah. I don't
know. And he believes her right away, which I think I would do.
I'm stumped. I guess
it's tough a little bit because they're not, like, they're not really tropey character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they really... They're a little opaque at times.
Yeah. Maybe I'm the sister because she works at an ice cream shop and I like to eat ice cream.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Do you have siblings?
Yeah. I have 3 brothers.
Are you close to them?
Yes and no. They're like my favorite people in the world, but I barely get to talk to them.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
I have a sister. It's like 5 years younger than me, lives in San Francisco. And she's lovely. Just spent 2 weeks with her over the holidays.
Oh, that's nice. In New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire.
Cool.
But that was because she seems like a real, like nice, loving, like, they have a really nice relationship in this movie, I think, that when they're, like, cuddling in bed, just kind of, like, because she's scared, I'm like, oh, that seems nice. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Normally, I feel, like, more connected to somebody in particular, and instead I'm just like, oh, she works at an ice cream place.
Yeah.
Even though I think, you know, I like the characters, I don't particularly feel like any of them.
Yeah. And I think it is, like, I mean, again, like, their wants are... Like, there's, like, this weird tension around all of them, this weird sexual tension. And then, like, you don't learn much else about them. And for some reason, I don't mind. But it's not sort of being like, oh, this part of that person. Like, I think probably maybe someone's a Paul.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Paul's, like, very clear. I mean,
very clear.
I think he is nuanced, but he's probably the most tropey of them.
And I think, I would think literally every person on Earth had... in high school at some point been a Paul of being like, I'm in love
with
this
Paul.
Person and I'm around them all the time because we go to school together and this feels so fucking bad, but also I legit
then he
like
kissed
being
her sister.
He kissed her, and I was like, they didn't say the age of that. Like, I was like, is this like 11-year-old or is this like, what is this?
Because
you don't know. Like, it
you
might
don't
be
know. And how far apart was it?
Yeah.
How did he kiss Jay and then how did he kiss Kelly?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that we don't know if that was like, was he gross or was it just like idiot 13-year-old, 14-year-old, but they're still holding on to. Yeah, exactly.
Spin the bottle.
Yeah, they don't tell you.
Because
they're all pretty cool with it. Like, they're like, well, it's not going to happen because that was gross. But also, like, it's not, like, we're not friends.
Right. I remember I have somebody that I think of as my first kiss. Because, you know, we sort of used tongue. We were, like, figuring it out.
Yeah.
But somebody else has told me that I was their first kiss, and it precedes my first kiss, but it was spin the bottle or truth or dare, and it was, like, truth or dare, and it was a peck. You know,
yeah.
It's like, I don't... So it's weird also what a kiss means.
Which is, I think, again, like, I think probably pretty universal for a lot of kids. And, like, that's kind of, like, them not defining in this movie, again, is why I think it's very accurate teen horniness of being like, it might have been a peck when they were 14, and it still fucking matters to them now.
And they might have just slobbered all over each other because they don't know what else to do.
It doesn't seem like it was anything particularly great for either situation.
They remember it because it was, like, the first time, but otherwise probably...
Unremarkable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
Do you want to promote anything, like your social medias?
You can follow me on Twitter at FernieComAlex. I'm gonna promote my wife's podcast.
Oh, that's so nice.
I'm going to be a nice husband. She has a podcast called This Particular Album is Very, Very Important to Me. She hosts with Joel Spence, where they have people come on and talk about albums that were, like, defining to them. And they had, like, Weird Al talk about Devo and Nicole Byer and Lauren Lapkus and Ty Burrell and a bunch of fun guests, and I think it's legitimately good.
That's awesome. So, you're the second person to do this, and it's so sweet.
Really?
We had we did The Witch with Lucia, and she promoted her girlfriend's podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, that is very nice. Oh no, her girlfriend's Kickstarter maybe. Yeah. But same kind of idea. Can you tell people why they should give us 5 stars and leave us a nice review?
Oh yeah, absolutely. One, it's just a decent human thing to do. If you're getting free content. And two, it's just so you can show off your, like, really great funny iTunes name that obviously you all have. Everyone wants to see how funny you were and creating that name in 2003.
Don't be a Hugh. Throw a blanket
over us.
Yeah,
don't be a Hugh. Yeah.
And
be somewhere between a Paul and a Hugh.
Yeah.
Leave a comment.
Words of wisdom. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. That was so fun.
That was so fun having you.